I'm Rick Ganley. This is NHPR. All this week on Morning Edition, we're bringing you a series on the heroin and opioid addiction crisis we're calling Hope on the Front Lines. We're traveling across the state and talking with people at the ground level, trying to make a difference. One impact of the addiction epidemic has been a skyrocketing rise in newborns experiencing withdrawal after being exposed to opioids in the womb. From 2006 to 2011, the number of newborns in withdrawal more than doubled in New Hampshire, and hospitals say the problem is only getting worse. This morning, we visit Concord Hospital, where caregivers are working with these families and trying to ease the transition into life for these little ones.
Oh, make a nice face. Make a nice face.
I'm on a tour of the family place, the maternity center at Concord Hospital, and my guide, Center Director Barbara Pasco, can't resist picking up one of the newest arrivals.
I think what's so incredible is you think of a year in an adult life, and you really don't change much, and you think about a year in a newborn's life.
The amazing changes.
It's phenomenal. Days.
Pasco
hours.
Has been working with colleagues here at the hospital on how to make the transition to life easier for babies born with neonatal abstinence syndrome, or NAS.
And one of the things we have for NAS babies, it looks like they look like caterpillars. We pop them in, and it helps them self-soothe. What's that thing called?
A womby.
Last year, 56 infants exposed to opioids were born here. So far this year, there have been 26.
10 years ago, if we had one or two of these children in a year, it was a very big deal for the staff.
The withdrawal process can be traumatic for babies. They cry inconsolably and often can't sleep.
To watch a baby go through this is very, it's painful. And trust me, the guilt that these parents feel is palpable.
Tina Ferrin-Salmi is the hospital's neonatal nurse educator.
We've had babies that have gone upward of 24 hours of no sleep whatsoever, which we all know is not normal for a baby. A level of irritability. There can be a lot of GI symptoms as well. So they can be nausea or vomiting, diarrhea.
As the hospital saw more of these babies, the staff started experimenting with ways to soothe them. Pam Terrell gently plucks the strings on her harp. She's a certified music practitioner in the hospital's therapeutic arts department. She performs under the name DeLuna, and when she plays for NAS babies and their families, she starts with something slow and calming.
And then if it seems that the baby is comfortable with that, I may pick it up to a little bit more of a heart rate rhythm because babies' hearts are so fast, so I may pick it up and bring it into... A lot of the things that I hear from the nurses or the mother is, my baby just had a full feeding. It's the first time my baby has actually gone through that. And so that's huge. You know, that to me shows that there's a great comfort there and that they're starting to be more adjusting.
And babies may hear something different, like a Native American flute. Amy Sarasvati is another certified music practitioner at the hospital.
We are watching their breathing. We are watching their reaction. We're watching everything about, and we are really tailoring our service to what's happening for them. So there's a big difference between performance and therapeutic music.
The hospital has also been offering Reiki and aromatherapy delivered through oils with scents like peppermint and ginger soaked into cotton balls. Babies, they tell me, are particularly fond of lavender. Alice Kinsler, the hospital's therapeutic arts director, says they're able to actually see how music and scents help.
If the baby is being monitored on, let's say, a heart monitor or all their vital signs are being monitored, we can also see if their heart rate goes down. The musicians understand how to use their music so that they can sometimes even bring a heart rate down noticeably, and we can see it on the monitor.
Still, these soothing techniques are only complementary to the baby's medical needs.
We treat them with morphine, and they can wean off over a period of 8 days, 10 days, and go home like a normal newborn.
Barbara Pasco, the family place director, says it's during this critical time when nurses offer support and guidance to mothers, some of whom are still using illicit drugs.
We have this very little window of time where if a mother is going to make a change in her behavior
she's going to do it when she has a baby, because there's a new little person that's depending entirely on her. And it's really not real until that baby is there and being held in her hands.
Many of the mothers go into treatment prior to birth, but maintenance drugs like methadone can still lead to NAS. In best-case scenarios, Tina Ferensalmi, the neonatal nurse educator, says the hospital's treatment begins prior to birth with pre-admission meetings.
A lot of these families are fearful that we're going to remove their baby from them as soon as it's born, and we're actually modeling and mimicking the exact opposite. We know that babies during their withdrawal process really have the best outcomes whenever they have a high level of interaction with their biologic parent.
And developmentally, outcomes for NAS babies are positive, though they're all referred for early intervention services as a precaution. And Ferensalmi says babies treated with morphine aren't at a higher risk for drug abuse later in life. That's something parents are often worried about. But mostly, she says, the hospital works to get rid of the stigma for these families.
All of us have probably made bad decisions in our past, but whenever you realize that you made a bad decision and you're actively on a path to do the right thing, then let's support that instead of continuing to keep it in the shadows and make it something dirty.
These are the continuing care rooms that I talked about earlier.
Of course, it's not always easy. Back at the family place, I talk with Pasco about how complicated many of the family situations can be.
I think the most challenging situation for us would be one where the mother has an issue and she hasn't shared it with her family or maybe even her partner. And then we get a lot of questions about why is the baby still here? Why is the baby getting medication? And because of patient confidentiality, we can't share that. And I think that the mothers are really selling themselves short in terms of the support that they would have available to them.
Yeah. Have you seen circumstances where there is multiple members of a family in addiction?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's what makes it really, really important why we treat these patients and give them the skills they need. Because when they go back out into the community, they may be going back into a situation that isn't conducive to the kind of care that we're providing and their ultimate goals.
And that's why the hospital keeps the care going for the mothers after they're discharged, offering lactation courses and a postpartum emotional support program.